Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1 tonight. Jeremiah, the first chapter. We're talking about, we actually started Sunday morning on Do Words Really Matter? And so I'm just calling this Do Words Really Matter 2. This is part 2. And but Sunday morning we talked about, you know, speaking words that the Spirit teaches. You know, He's got different words than we do. Amen. He's got different words than the world does. And so we need to learn to speak His words that He teaches. And then tonight I want to talk to you about speaking in line with your destiny. You know, you got a destiny. You know, we're going to Jeremiah 1, but if we went to Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it tells us this, that God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you, an, the King James says, an expected end, a favorable outcome. Amen? Amen? And so God's got a plan for you. Amen. Say, God's got a plan for me. And say this, it's a good plan. So God's got a good plan for you. You know, He wants your life blessed. He does. He wants your life blessed. You know, we go through trouble, but that's not what God wants for our life. You know, we experience things. We experience tests. We experience trials. But, you know, and you know, we can grow in the midst of them. You know, if we use our faith. Amen. You know, if trouble made you spiritual, the whole United States would be a spiritual giant. Because we've seen a lot of trouble in 2020. So it's just not trouble. It's what you do in the midst of it that will cause you to grow or not grow. Amen. You know, faith comes by hearing, right? By the Word of God, but it's developed by using it. You know, how many know you don't develop muscles by just feeding your body? You got to exercise it. You got to work it out. You know, Mr. Universe didn't get to be Mr. Universe by just eating. Wouldn't that be wonderful if it worked that way? Amen. But it doesn't work that way, right? I remember when I was, it was some of the dumbest advice I ever followed in my life. But, you know, it was before I was saved, and I was pretty small, and I was working out with a couple of guys that were friends of mine, you know, and they were pretty well built. They were pretty chiseled, you know, and they were twin brothers. But man, they were cut, you know. And so I started working out with them. I was probably, I don't know, maybe 19, something like that. You know, I was, you know, 20. I was working a job. I know that. I think about 19. And they told me, they said, you know, you need to put some weight on. That was the dumbest advice. Because I'm still following her advice today. It was stupid. I should have just said, forget all the barbells and all this stuff. I'll just stay skinny. All right? Amen. Now, Jeremiah chapter 1, and go. I want to read a few verses here. Jeremiah chapter 1. Have you got it? You should have. Verse number 4, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. So God told Jeremiah, I had a plan for you before you were born. Right? God had a plan. And so, you know, and he said, I sanctified you out of the womb. I sanctified you before you came out of the womb. So, you know, God doesn't just see that is, you know, the world uses the word fetus, but God sees it as a person. Amen? And He's got a plan. Amen? Now think about how many of God's plans have been aborted through abortion. Think about that. You know, isn't it great that Jeremiah's mother didn't abort him? Amen? And so, but God's got a plan for us. You know, He knows. You know, I mean, I didn't know God had a plan for me. I didn't know that. I didn't know He called me to be a minister of the gospel. I had no idea. I didn't find that out. I didn't even begin to think about it until I was about 19 or 20, and I began to hear something inside of me. Even though I wasn't saved, you know, God can still communicate with you, right? And so that's what conviction is, God communicating with you. And so he began to communicate with me when I think I was 19 or 20, that I might be, there might be something, you know, he wasn't saying might be, but I was thinking might be. You understand? I was thinking, you know, there might be something here. I might be called to preach. I don't, you know what I'm saying. And so I, even one of my friends asked me, you going to be a preacher? You know, I said, well, that's what my mom says, but you know, I don't have any plans on it right now. Amen. But God knew, right? Now let's go back here. Verse 5 again. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, this is what Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child, or literally a youth. So God said, here's what I have for you. And Jeremiah said, I can't do that. Does that sound familiar? Sure, a lot of people do that. I can't do that. Look what God said. But the Lord said to me, say not, I'm a child, for you shall go to all that I shall send you, and you and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. Now I want you to notice, God told Jeremiah his plan, and Jeremiah said, I can't. And God said, don't say that. So God is a confession corrector. Is he not? He just did, didn't he? He said, don't say that. I mean, if God tells you not to say something, you probably shouldn't say it, right? He said, don't say that. In other words, don't say what you are in the natural. Don't say that. Say about yourself what I've said about you. Amen. You know, sometimes things don't look like what God said. They don't look like it in the natural. I mean, think about, you know, when God called Gideon. Gideon was hiding behind the wine press. And God comes to him and says, hey, mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, "You who, me?" He said, man, my family's the least in Israel. Our clan is the least in Israel. My family's the least in Israel, and I'm the least in my family. But God said, you're a mighty man of valor. You know, God seeth not as man seeth, amen? And so sometimes he sees things, you know, that we don't see. Amen. I never envisioned myself as, you know, preaching the gospel. And I didn't ask for this job. I'm not upset that I got it. But if God had asked me, I'd do something else. Amen. But God's got a plan for us. You understand what I'm saying? And I'll tell you what, you know, you say, well, I don't know what God's plan is for me. Well, I can tell you one thing. His plan is for you to live victorious and have a blessed, happy life. Yeah. Now, I know that that's popular today to talk about, you know, you having a happy life. But the truth of the matter is God doesn't want you, he doesn't want you blessed. Are you with me now? I mean, he wants you obedient, too. Isn't that right, Deanne? He wants you obedient, too. He wants you consecrated. He wants you dedicated. But he also wants you blessed. Amen. And so he said, don't say that. You know, because there's two different kinds of people in life, you know, especially Christians. There's thermometer Christians and thermostat Christians. You know, thermometer tells you what you got, right? Thermostat calls for what you want. There's a lot of Christians, all they can talk about is what they got. Amen. I heard, this is years ago, I heard Glory Copeland say this. This was, I think it was Glory Copeland. Phyllis may have to help me. I may have the wrong person here. I'll tell the story, and if it's not right, I'll let her correct it. All right? But I think it was Glory Copeland trying to get her mother to confess divine healing over herself. Am I got it right? All right, it was Glory Copeland. I thought so. This was years ago we heard her say this. It was her grandmother, trying to get her grandmother to confess divine healing, because the Bible promises divine healing, right? And so she's trying to get her to confess divine healing over herself. And she said, now, Grandma, say, by his stripes I'm healed. And she wouldn't say it. She said something different. I don't remember what she said, but she wouldn't say it. And so Gloria said, no, Grandma, say, by his stripes I'm healed. And she said something else. I can't remember now what she said. But then Gloria said, "No, Grandma, say by his stripes I'm healed." She said, when I said that, my grandmother looked at me and said, "You can't fool Jesus." Well, how many of you know, we're saying what he already said. We're not trying to fool him. And that's what God told Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah said, I can't do this. I'm just a youth. I'm just a child here. And God said, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say you're a child. Because why? I'm going to put my words in your mouth. How many know when God's words get in your mouth, then that's a good thing. So we don't want to be a thermometer Christian that just goes around and all we can tell you is what's going on. We want to be a thermostat Christian that can literally call for what God has said in his word. Amen? Now, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go there because I want to show you. I'm going to look at, I got about five scriptures I may look at tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll preach from them, and then we'll do whatever else we need to do tonight, and then we'll go home. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go there. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to read one verse out of there. Hebrews 11, you got it? Verse 24 says, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, all right, what's this mean? Well, you see, it says he did this by faith. Now, let's talk about that just for a minute. Why? How much faith does it say take to say I'm not Pharaoh's daughter? Son, I'm not Pharaoh's daughter's son. How much faith does that take? Pastor Jerry, say this: I'm not Pharaoh's daughter's son. Now, are you straining because your faith got taxed there? See, there's something behind. The reason why it took a lot of faith because when he did that, he lost everything in the natural. Are you hearing me? He just, do you realize the riches, the luxury, the prestige that Moses had being Pharaoh's daughter's son? He is Pharaoh's grandson. Do you realize the privilege that he has? And he knows when I refuse that title, I lose all that. So it would take some faith to do that, right? Come on. You know, when, how many ever heard of John G. Lake? How many ever heard of John G. Lake? Everybody's heard of him. Okay, good. John G. Lake, you know, I forget what year it was, but it was a long time ago. I mean, like the early 1900s maybe, that he left America with the call of God on him to go to Africa as an apostle to Africa. And if you've ever read any of his books, man, he was an outstanding man of God that really walked in the power of God. And so, but John G. Lake was a millionaire in the early 1900s. Now, you have to understand, a millionaire in the early 1900s would be like being a billionaire today. See? And he was making, not only did he have all that money, but I forget, he was making $50,000 to $100,000 a year. Now, that doesn't sound like much today, but we're talking 1900s, you know, when people, you know, I remember my grandpa on my mom's side worked for the railroad, and he was a World War I veteran, and so we're probably looking when he got out of the war. I don't remember whether that war ended, maybe 1917, 18. And so so when he got out of the war, you know, I mean, after a while, he's working for the railroad, and he is making $9 a week. Now, how many weeks would you have to work to make $50,000 to $100,000 a year? There's not that many weeks, right? So, in the year. So what I'm just showing you is John G. Lake was a very, very wealthy man. But when he left to go to Africa, he had to give it all up because he couldn't take it with him because of the government rules. He only could take $200. So all of his wealth, he gave it away and went to Africa. You have to do that by faith. How many know that? And so this is what Moses did even on a greater scale. I mean, he is the grandson of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he gives it all up. Amen. So he can follow God. So by faith. But that's really not what I want to preach on. It preaches pretty good. But what I want to talk about is Moses realized that he had a divine destiny. See, it says, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So Moses realized, I've got a destiny here as a deliverer, and I can no longer be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I can't. I refuse to be called that now. Well, that wasn't his destiny. Are you with me now? He refused to allow people to call him that. Don't call me that. Don't say that about me. That's not my destiny. That was just a temporary thing. That's not my destiny. My destiny is to be a deliverer of God's people. And man, you know, if he'd have stayed the son of Pharaoh's daughter, we'd never heard of him. I said we'd never heard of him. But because he chose to not be called that, well, the whole world knows who Moses is. Amen. Amen. They made a movie about him, remember? Anybody seen that? The Ten Commandments? All right. So listen, Moses refused to be called something that wasn't his God-given destiny. Don't call yourself things that's not in your destiny. You know, and people just like, well, I'll never make it. I'll never have anything. I'll never be healthy. I'll never be healed. I'll never get any better. That's not God's destiny for you. God's destiny is for you to be blessed. Amen. God's destiny is for you to be healed. Amen. God's destiny is for you to have, everything that he's provided for by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you speak contrary to the destiny, then you stop the destiny from coming to pass. So don't say those things over you. Remember when God, in Genesis chapter 17, God said to Abraham, he said, ask for me, my covenant's between me and you. And he said, your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham's your name. Did you know that from that point on in Genesis chapter 17, Abram called himself Abraham. He started calling himself what God called him. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, even though it didn't look like it. Did you know when God, listen, if you do the math on this, you find this out, you do the math on it, I've done the math on it. You do the math on it, when God spoke to Abraham that he was going to have a son, and from that point to the time Isaac was born was 25 years. 25 years. And a lot of different things transpired in that 25 years. First of all, when God spoke to Abraham that he was going to have a son, Abraham could have children. Sarah couldn't. See? Because he had a child by Hagar. But God waited until neither one of them could, and he fulfilled the promise. Amen. So, you know, God's showing off a little bit there, wasn't he? Let's make it a little bit tougher. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you have to call yourself what God calls you. Amen. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 18. Let's go there. I know I told you I want to look about five scriptures. We're going to stop after that, but let's go to Proverbs 18 and just read a couple of verses. This is a real familiar passage, but let's have it fresh and anew. Amen. Wouldn't it used to? There used to be for what was that? Cornflakes. Have them again for the first time. All right. Have your Proverbs 18, 20, and 21 for the first time again. All right. Proverbs 18, verse 20 says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." Notice this: a man's belly will be satisfied. Notice this: with the fruit or of his mouth or his words. And with the increase, now that word increase means harvest. The harvest of his lips shall he be filled. In other words, you're going to harvest off of your lips. What are you saying about yourself? That's going to be your harvest, see. And he went on to say, death and life, you have the power to kill or make alive with your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They that love what? If you love to talk, just know this, you're going to eat the fruit. He said, I love to talk, Pastor. Well, that's fine. Just make sure you're saying the right words. Amen. Now, so you're going to harvest in life off of your lips. Now, people don't realize this, but you can literally change God's destiny by you saying things that are contrary to His will for your life. I've told this story before, but you know, some of these things you need to hear them again and again, just so you make sure we reinforce this in our lives. But you know, years ago, I heard Brother Hagin say, he said he was asked by a pastor in town where he lives at, if he would come and pray for one of his church members. He was in the hospital dying, and he was like 39 years old. And so Brother Hagin told this pastor, he said, yes, he said, as soon as I get done at school here, he was teaching in the Bible school, his college there in Broken Arrow, Rhema Bible College. And he said, as soon as I get done, he said, with class, he said, I'll come by the hospital and pray for him. So he said, I prayed for him. He said, but when I prayed for him, he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, he has set laws, talking about this young man, he said, he has set laws in motion that cannot now be reversed. Well, Brother Hagin didn't know what it meant. But he just, prayed for him. And as he got ready to leave, the pastor said, Brother Hagin, did God speak to you? And he said, well, he said he did. He said, he's told me that the young man has set laws in motion that cannot now be reversed. He said, do you know what that means? Pastor, I don't know what that means. Well, at 39 years old, he died. He didn't recover. He died. So Brother Hagin went to the funeral hall, and stopped by. And when he was there, this pastor was there. But this young man that died at 39, his brother was there. And Brother Hagin said, the pastor said to him, I want you to tell his brother what the Lord said to you. So Brother Hagin said, well, the Lord said to me when I went to pray for him that he has set laws in motion that cannot now be reversed. And Brother Hagin said, do you know what that means? He said, oh, yeah, I know what that means. He said, my brother, all of his life growing up, said this. He said, I will not live to be 40 years old. At 39, he died. Now, what was the Lord saying? Well, he set that law in motion with the words of his mouth, and only he could reverse it. But see, he wasn't in any place to reverse it now. He was totally out. Right. He was totally incoherent. He couldn't speak now. He was out. So he couldn't reverse it, and nobody could reverse it for him because he's the one that set the law in motion for all those years he was growing up. He spoke contrary to the destiny of God for his life. See, God's destiny is for you to live beyond 39. Yeah. You know, the Bible says, with a long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Amen. I like what some, I've listened to Brother Hagin a lot over the years, And I like something else he said. He went to pray for a lady that was in her 80s. She was in her 80s. She was a preacher lady. He went to pray for her. And, she was dying of cancer. And Brother Hagin stopped by to pray for her, And she said, oh, Brother Hagin, I know about healing. I know all that. Just leave me alone. Let me die. He said, I'm not going to do it. He knew her well, He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, let God heal you and then die if you want to. So he said, it took me quite a while to talk her into living. He said, finally, I got her talked into living and prayed for her, and she got healed. He said, in her 90s, she was still going out and preaching. Ask her daughter, said, well, how's she doing? Said, well, Brother Hagin, she stays home during the wintertime, but in the summertime, she's still going out and preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, see, that wasn't God's destiny for her. Now, it would have come to pass, though, right? Because that's the way she was calling. Remember, God said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. So it would have come to pass, but it wasn't God's will. Just because things would have come to pass doesn't mean it's God's will. Amen. Sometimes we preachers say this, and it's just totally wrong. We say, God's got everybody here He wants to tonight. Look around. You think everybody that's supposed to be in His church, be at church tonight's here? No, they're not. That's because they made the decision not to be here. God's not making those decisions for you. We make those decisions. This idea that things are God's will and there's nothing you can do to change, that's not true, Amen. I always say this, in the end, God's going to have His way, but we're not to the end yet. Amen? You know, there's going to come a time, Jesus said he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Then there's going to be a lot of people who don't like it. A lot of people don't like Trump. You're certainly not going to like Jesus when he rules, because he's going to make you go to church. He'll beat you if you don't. Well, what's rod of iron mean? That means strong hand, man. But he's a benevolent guy, you know. Or, excuse me, I didn't mean to say that slangy, but he's a benevolent God, right? But still, you know, he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. He's going to make them behave. Now, you know, and the Bible tells us that, you know, once we come to the end of the millennial reign, then the devil's loose for a little bit. And it's amazing that nations are still going to follow the devil. They'll get destroyed for doing that. But see, what I'm saying is God's got a destiny for us, but we have something to do with it, whether we ever walk in it or not. Have you ever been tempted to walk away from God's destiny for your life? Sure, I'm sure all of us have. I've had times I thought, you know, it'd be easier to do something else than what God's called me to do. And more prosperous. But, you know, that's really not true. That's a lie of the devil. Because the best place you can possibly be is right in the will of God for your life. You know, when God first began calling me, when I was like 19 and in my 20s and God began dealing with me to preach, I don't know why. You know, sometimes you just hear preachers say stuff and they say it religiously and maybe I picked it up there. I don't know. But I just automatically thought that meant I would be going to Africa. I really did. I thought God's going to send me off. If I get saved and I start preaching, I'm going to be going off into some other foreign country. And I wasn't really too keen on that. Now, I have been to Africa, but I came back. I like those kind of mission trips. Glory to God. Well, you come back, right? You know, but now, if God called me to Africa, that's the best place I can be. We say, well, it's dangerous over there where God's sending you. It's more dangerous to be here if you're supposed to be over there. How many know that? Right. If the will of God for you is in Africa, you know, it's more dangerous to be in Indiana than it is in Africa.
Right. That's right.
Because you're out of the will of God. The best place for you to be is in the will of God.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I heard a story about a missionary one time, you know. He told this story. He said, you know, he said, he's in the will of God. He's over there, and he's over there in the mission field. And you have to understand, of course, when we talk about Africa today, Africa's, you know, been, a lot of it's been civilized. Now, there are still tribal people in parts of Africa, in parts of Uganda and places, you know. They're still there. And if you walked on their territory, you're probably not walking out unless you know God and God sent you there. You understand that? But that's the way it was years and years and years ago. And this is the days, you know, when it was like that, where, you know, they would kill you and eat you. And so, you know, they had stolen one young girl from them. A little girl they'd stolen from this Christian group. And this missionary said, well, we got to go. And he got another preacher with him, said, we got to go and we got to get her back. And so they walked through the jungle and they got to the entrance of the village. And, you know, hanging there was like a piece of meat that was just hanging there. It's been cooking in the sun for days. It's rotted. But one of their customs was you had to eat a piece of that meat to come in there. So he said, we reached up there. He said, it's rotten. It's putrefied. I know you're loving this story, aren't you? I can tell by your faces. And said, we just took a bite and we just thought, you know, the scripture said if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. So we thought, well, it's got to work for eating it too. So we ate it and it didn't bother us, you know. So the little girls in this, you know, they've captured her. They've taken her. So they're, but he's a missionary. I mean, he's called of God, you know. So he's in the will of God. I'm just saying the will of God's the best place to be.
Yeah.
And so he goes in there with this other preacher, other friend he's got with him, and they go in there and they meet with the chief and they've got, you know, beads and trinkets and stuff that they're going to trade for the girl. And so, you know, when the chief, they see these beads and trinkets, they want them. So they make a deal. Okay, you give us that, we'll give you the girl back, the little girl back. So they traded, but it got nighttime. It started to get dark, and they realized, we can't leave at nighttime. We can't go in a jungle at night. It's not safe to travel, so we're going to have to spend the night here. So they went off in a little hut by themselves, you know. And he said, about the nighttime, middle of the night, he said, woke up, heard the drums going on. You know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know. And the guys with him, you know, didn't know as much as this guy's experience. He said, what does that mean? He said, well, that's the death drum. Well, what's that mean? He said, well, I'll tell you what it means. The chief has just realized he's got our beads, he's got our trinkets, he's got the girl. He doesn't have to give her back. He's got it all. That means they're going to kill us and keep everything. So he says, we might as well just go out there and get it over with right now. Why sit here and, you know, I mean, you're not going to sleep good the rest of the night. How many believe that? I mean, it probably is going to affect your sleep a little. I don't care how much Tylenol PM you take. Probably you're going to have some problems. And so he said, you know, we might as well just go out and get it over with. So he walked out there, and he said, when we walked out there, he said, they all fell down and began to bow. Well, he didn't know what was going on. So he asked one of them, why is this? And they said, they started worshiping these guys. They said, when you came out, there were two great big beings came out with you, and they had weapons, they had swords and all. And they began to worship these guys, thinking, you guys must be gods if these beings follow around with you. Well, thank God for angels. Amen. See, it's a lot safer to be in the will of God no matter how bad it looks. Right. Are you with me now? Yeah. And see, it's a lot safer to be in His plan, be in His will, and don't say things that are contrary to His will for your life. Or His destiny for you. He's got a good destiny for you. I mean, He wants you blessed. Amen? Amen. But when we say, well, you know, it's not going to work for me, you know, and you know, this or that, you know, negative, then we're really short-circuiting His plan and His destiny and getting out of His will for our life by our mouth. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. But we're the ones that choose death or life. God said you choose death or life. It's up to you. It's your choice. But if we speak what God says about us, then we can walk in the plan. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm just talking about staying in His plan. You're going to have to learn to talk right if you're going to stay in His plan. You know, there are times that we don't know what to do. How many ever been there? But don't go around confessing, I don't know what to do. Start confessing your wisdom. Yeah. I have wisdom. Amen. See, this book promises us wisdom. How many know that? The Bible says Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So don't be saying, I don't know what to do. There's times you don't know what to do, but don't let that be your confession. You might say, Father, I don't know what to do. I receive your wisdom, right? But from then on, let's talk about, hey, thank God I've received His wisdom. Amen. You know what to do yet? Well, it's coming. I may not know quite yet, but it's coming to me. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's amazing the way God can get things to you. It is amazing. I mean, you know, He can use all kinds of things. Amen? Amen? Yeah. I mean, I've had God use things in the natural. Just, you know, there's been times I've like, I don't know what to preach. You know, I don't know what to, and I'll pray in the Spirit. You know, I pray in the Spirit because you know what? The Holy Ghost knows how to pray. He prays the perfect will of God. So I trust Him more than I trust me. I pray with my understanding and I pray in the Spirit. But I don't know how many times I've had God confirm, you know, and I'll get on something. I'll think, well, I'm not quite sure. And man, I'm in confirmation will come from the Holy Ghost. One way or the other, He'll do it. Hallelujah. He gets you the wisdom. Amen. Amen. He lets you know. You know, I remember the first building that we got for this church, you know, I saw it with a flashlight. And I found out that was the best way to see it. Once the lights were on, I found out, man, this place needs some help, man. It had a water break, you know, and it wasn't a real old building, really, but it had been sitting empty for a couple years or so, maybe a little longer than that. An engineering company, just when they left, they turned the power off, and the people that owned it didn't know they turned the power off. And one day somebody called them and said, hey, there's water coming out of your building. And, you know, and so they went in there and shut the water off and just left everything like that. Well, when I saw it, it didn't have any power on it, you know. And so I saw it, you know, and walked through it with a flashlight and, you know, and saw what I saw. And, you know, they wanted $2,200 a month, you know, which in that day, this was 1995, that was a lot of money. You know, later on, we'd have taken that in a heartbeat, you know. But at that time, that, especially when you don't have a congregation, that was a lot of money. Especially when it's just you and your wife, you know what I'm saying? That's a lot of money. And so, you know, so I just remember talking to God. I said, look, here Lord, you know, I'm going to offer them $800. That's what I'm going to offer them. They want 22, I'm going to offer them 800. I mean, that's quite a bit of difference, right? Yeah. And so I said, now, if they take that, then I know this is you. And so I told the lady, I said, well, I'm not going to pay $2,200. I said, there's just no way. I'm like, I can't. I don't have it. You understand? I don't have a congregation. And so she said, well, I'll think about it over the weekend. I'll call you back on Monday. I said, okay. She called me back on Monday. She said, I'll let you have it for $805. I thought, well, I'm not going to argue over $5. I can fork that out. I mean, you know, if I can just get enough people to get $800, I can surely afford the $5. So I'll take that. All right. Amen. You know, God just got ways. You know what I'm saying? And you know, the most important thing is we have the witness of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I don't go by, well, you know, I don't say, I don't do that kind of thing. I don't put out fleeces. You know, if he's like, well, if a black cat runs in front of my car, you know, then I'll know it was God. You know, that's, the devil can run black cats out in front of your car. You got to go by the inner witness. But when you got the inner witness, sometimes God does. He does give you, show you signs, but it's because you already have it on the inside of you. He doesn't lead you by that supernatural external stuff. He leads you by the Holy Spirit. When that external stuff comes, that's great. If it comes, if it doesn't, if you got the witness of the Spirit, that's all you really need. Amen. Now, so we have to watch that we don't speak contrary to what the Word says about our destiny. Amen? Now, let's go to 1 Samuel as we get ready to wind down here. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I spent more time there than I planned on it. But let's go there because I want to show you something here about David. You know, David had a destiny. How many know that? I mean, you know, as a 17-year-old, he had a destiny, man. He had a destiny to be the king of Israel. Now, you got to know, when God anointed him, it was quite a while before he actually stepped into that. Amen. I'm for God moving faster, but he does things the way he does things. Are you with me now? You know, sometimes he'll say things and it sounds like, man, this is coming past tomorrow. And then like 10 years later, you know, people used to say that about Brother Hagin, people that work with him. They'd say Brother Hagin would just be preaching sometime, and he would say, or talking to his people, his staff, he'd say, we're going to do this. And they'd all think, woo, glory to God. So, you know, 5 years later, he said, remember when I said we were going to do that? Oh, yeah, well, yeah, yeah. They said, well, get at it. Let's do it. He said, might be 5 years later before he does it, or 10. But see, God's that way. He might tell you something, because that's where people get discouraged. Well, you know, God told me this, and I mean, here we go. You know, I remember, and I'll leave her unnamed, but I remember I gave a word to a young lady years ago that God was working on her, was working on her husband, bringing her husband to her. He was working. I said, he's working on him. He's coming. He's working on him. She's wanting to get married, you know, and he's working on him. About 5 years later, 6 years later, she was like, I want to talk to you about that word. Where's my husband? Well, I'm not God, you know. But you know what? I may have the years a little bit off, but it's like about 5, you know, where she was like, where's my husband? I want my money back for that word. I gave an offering that night. You know what I'm talking about? So I want my offering back. But you know, she had this list, you know, of what she wanted in a husband. It was pretty detailed, and it was a pretty good list, you know. And so, but you know what? About 6 years after that, God brought her husband, and he matched everything on that list. But you know, the 5 years ago, he wouldn't have matched that list. He needed some help. Don't y'all look like you don't need help. He needed some help. He needed some fixing, and God fixed him. Amen. You know, somebody's, you know, I don't know, if I give stuff away, I want to fix it first. I want it in good order. I don't want to give junk away. So I want to fix it. Well, before God brought her husband, he wanted to fix him. And so he got him fixed. Hallelujah. Amen. And she got a great husband. Well, that beats getting a bad one. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm just saying, sometimes God's working on things. And you know, when he's working with people, sometimes it takes a little while. A minister, I know, he's in heaven now. But, you know, when he first started, when he was really traveling a lot, you know, he asked his secretary one time how many days a year he spent in the airport that year, you know, just waiting on flights, you know. He traveled all the time. How many days, add the hours up, you know, how many days did I actually spend in an airport this year? And I think it was like half the year, about 150 days he spent just waiting to go someplace, 150. So he thought, this can't work. We got to do something. So he began to believe for a plane. You know, God began to deal with him about it. He began to believe for a plane. He said, a long time, time went by, and no plane, no plane, no plane. And he said, you know, he said he went to the Lord, and he said, what's going on here? He said, the Lord said this to him, and I believe this. He said, the Lord said, I've already talked to 100 people to help you, and none of them's obeyed me. He said, but just stay put. I'll get it to you. Isn't that something? You think everybody obeys like you do? What are you laughing about? I mean, not everybody obeys, right? Now, and some are slow to obey, right? I've been slow to obey before. I've been slow when God's talked to me about, you know, give people money. I've been a little slow sometimes, you know, and they're out there suffering. Well, I'm being slow, see? We need to be quick to obey when we know it's God, right? You know, I mean, they're out there losing weight, you know. I'm eating on their money. How many of you follow what I'm saying? See, and God works with people, right? And so he doesn't just float money down from heaven. He knows where lost money's at. But he doesn't counterfeit it. Amen. Do you find 1 Samuel 17? Look at this. Remember, we're talking about destiny, man. Verse 41, and the Philistine came on, and he drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, he looked around that shield and saw David, he disdained him. That means he ridiculed him. For he was but a youth and ruddy or reddish and of a fair countenance. I mean, this kid, you know, he just looked like he was a little peach fuzz on him, you know. He didn't look like much. How many are following with that? See, this is what this dude, he wasn't impressed. He just looked like a little runt, you know, a little teenager. And so the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Well, you better have the right God. And the Philistine said, listen to this, the Philistine said to David, come to me, I'll give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. So he told David what he's going to do. David said, listen now, to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. Think about this. See, the Philistine will talk to you. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you what he's going to do to you. What's the Philistine? Well, that's the enemy. That's the devil. And he'll tell you what he's going to do, but you got to fire back.
Amen.
Look what David said. This day. Now, you got to understand, I mean, you got to get this picture, you know. I mean, he's about 9 feet something tall. David's a little skinny, scrawny teenager. He's not filled out. He's got peach fuzz on. Red hair, reddish looking, reddish complexion. The Bible calls him ruddy. He looks like, you know, he's just real soft and delicate, and he'd break. And he's telling us, this man is the greatest champion the Philistines have. Nobody wants to take him on. Saul's about 7 feet tall himself. The Bible said he's head and shoulders above everybody in Israel. He won't go out there and mess with him. But yet and all this Philistine wants is send me out a man to fight with. Let's don't have our armies to fight. I'll come out and fight. You send me out a man to fight with me. If he beats me, then we're your servants. How about that for a deal? Nobody'd go out. And here they run out this little. Remember, he put on Saul's armor and he couldn't even move in it. It was way too big for him. He said, well, I can't go with this. And he grabs a slingshot, 5 stones. He said, I'll go with this. I'm familiar with this. And he goes out there. You can imagine. See, that. Well, you got to get the picture. Goliath's got a man. He's got an assistant out in front of him carrying a shield, a full body shield. He doesn't even see David. He's following the guy that's got the shield. All right? They get out to the battle. The guy lowers the shield, and he looks down, and there's this pimpled little teenager. And he said, am I a dog? They ran you out here? Come to me. I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. David said, verse 46, this is coming from a little teenager. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will smite you, take your head from you, and I'll give the carcasses of the of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. You got to know how this sounded to this guy. This little bitty guy, it had to be cute, kind of, I think. It'd be like Mason walking up to me saying, I'm going to whoop you good, Pastor. I'm going to take you down. I'm going to throw you out in the parking lot. I mean, it's like, you're following me. That's about what this would be like. And David doesn't just say, I'm going to take you. He said, I'm going to take everybody. I'm going to take the whole army. I'm going to whip you and the whole army. I mean, he's waxing bold. But he's not, listen, he's not dependent on himself. But I want you to see, he's not letting this Philistine talk to him. He's got a divine destiny here. His destiny is to go out there and defeat this Goliath, which is going to catapult him into stardom in Israel, which is going to make him famous. That's what I mean by stardom. It's going to catapult him. He's going to win favor with the people and become the king of the people. And verse 47, and all this assembly, they shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hands. In other words, all this assembly is going to know that God doesn't use natural means to win. Hallelujah. You may be bigger than me. You may be tougher than me. You may be more of a mighty warrior in the natural, but that's not the means God uses. God uses spiritual weapons. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? Amen. Did you get anything tonight? See, some of the greatest people that God has used in the past, they didn't have all the natural means. They didn't have all the natural weapons, as we would say. But you know what? They had God. Hallelujah. You know, a guy said to me one time, he was a theology seminary guy. He was a nice guy. I liked him, you know. But just because you've been to seminary, just because you've had theology, doesn't mean you know God or you even know his word. I mean, you know, listen, I mean, a lot of that's taught, it's just unusable. I've heard of ministers saying when they got out of seminary, they didn't know any more about what to do than they did before they went in. They didn't know because they never taught them the Word of God. How many know if we're a minister of the gospel, we should learn the gospel? And so a guy asked me one time, he said, well, what seminary did you go to? I said, none. He said, well, and he started bragging about his pedigree, you know, about, well, I went, Dr. So-and-so taught me. And so I thought, well, I'm going to give him a little rope here and hang him. And so, you know, in a nice way. But I'm still going to let him hang himself. Actually, I'm going to let him hang himself is the better way to say it. I'm going to let him hang himself. I said, okay. I said, Dr. So-and-so taught you. Yes, I went to, and Dr. So-and-so taught me. I went to such and such seminary. And, you know, I think he was trying to belittle me because, you know, I hadn't been. But I'd learned on-the-job training. You know, I was out there working, you know, while he was, you know, reading books. And so, you know, I said, and he said, Dr. So-and-so taught me. I said, okay, well, who taught Dr. So-and-so? You know, the one that taught you. He knew. He said, well, Dr. So-and-so taught him. I said, well, who taught, you know, the second Dr. So-and-so? Well, I don't know. I said, well, you know, listen, here's the way this works. God had to teach one of these guys, if anybody knows anything. Somewhere, one of these guys had to learn from God. Amen. If you have anything. Does that make sense to you? I mean, if you really got anything usable, I mean, so what? You know, when the Byzantine Empire fell, I really don't care. Or when Job went through his trial, what year it was. You know, that's what you're going to learn. I don't really care what year Job went through his trial. I want to know how he got out of it. That's what I want to know. You know, I don't care about all this. I don't need to know all that stuff. That's what, you know, and listen, I'm not against higher education. I hope you understand that. Because, you know, do anything you can to make all the money you can and tithe. Just do it legal, all right? I mean, but anyway, I'm not against higher education, but you know, there's a lot of that's just not useful. I remember, you know, when I went to college just for a little bit, short time, and I remember when I was going for like survey technology, you know, to learn to be a surveyor, And so I had to take these classes. And I think what really broke me, you know, understand, I wasn't saved. I wasn't thinking right. I was a drug user and all that. But I was going to school. I thought, well, I'll make some more money this way, you know. And so I went and, you know, signed up for all my classes. And I'm in class. I'm sitting there in class one morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, whatever it was. And I'm sitting here. I'm learning to be a surveyor. And we're in psychology class. And they're talking about the right side and the left side of a monkey's brain. It's 8:30 in the morning. And all I could think was, wait a minute, I could be out here making money instead of learning about the right side and left side of a monkey's brain. I don't know. What's a monkey's brain got to do with surveying? I'm not going where there's monkeys. I'm not surveying in the jungle. So you understand there's a lot of wasted motion and all that, and that's not to say don't take it. I'm glad there's no young people in here today, because Pastor said don't go to college. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to spiritual things, I don't care who taught you. Somebody had to hear from God if we really have anything at all.
Right.
Somebody had to be taught by God. Right. And that's something we all can avail ourselves to because the Holy Spirit's a teacher. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.